Yo, what's up?
You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast. Keeping it real, keeping it raw on iTunes and Spotify.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to Keeping It Raw. I am Raw, and today's episode is just going to be all over the place, okay? I'm going to talk first about some crime updates, okay? If you have listened to the podcast before, you've probably heard a couple of different crimes that I've personally had dealings with. One of them was regarding a guy named Edward Moore Jr. Edward Moore Jr. robbed my office back in 2016 at gunpoint, him and two other guys, and they robbed a Bank of America twice. The same Bank of America, they robbed it back to back. In total, out of the three places they robbed, they got a little over $60,000. It was gone in a matter of weeks. Man. Yeah, I mean, you know, was it worth the time they got? Let's talk about it. So Edward Moore, I went to his trial back in June. June 3rd, I think, was the date. The next day is when they, after the trial, found him guilty. And his original sentencing date, where they're going to tell him how long he's going to be serving time, that was scheduled for mid-August. Then it was moved to September. Then it was moved to October. Then it was moved to November, where it lasted. It happened in November. It happened just a couple of weeks ago. The FBI agent who was working the case contacted me and said, hey, you know, just want to let you know the trial is on, and it doesn't look like it's going to be rescheduled again. Just letting you know in the event you want to be part of it. So I had no desire, you know. If it had been rescheduled so many times, I had intended to go. But then I was like, I can't keep scheduling time off from work, you know. Anyway, so I found out the next day that he got sentenced to 105 years in prison. 105 years in prison. Okay, so this guy had a long rap sheet. He had felonies already. He was in possession of guns. He wasn't supposed to, of course. He had robbed three finance companies. And I guess the right terminology is financial institutions. He had held people at gunpoint. He stole money. He overpowered a sheriff deputy and stole a vehicle, and I think that's most of the charges. Anyway, 105 years. We knew when he was found guilty at that time back in June that he was definitely going to get at least 75 years, 25 years for each financial institution that he robbed, but 105 years. I mean, the man is truly a danger to society. So anyway, just wanted to give you an update on that so you knew what was going on. Anyway, the other thing was that there was an update to Carrie Toole. So Carrie Toole, if you don't recall, was a lady who committed fraud against my company. What she did was she created false income verification. She made fake tax returns to prove her income. She was one of those ladies that was on Facebook. She would do Facebook Live, and they would have these live videos of her opening up clams and getting pearls out, and people would buy them or something. I don't remember the whole like structure or how it's done, but she did that, and a lot of people had complained that she wasn't fulfilling their orders. Anyway, where I came into the picture was that she asked to borrow money, and when we asked for proof, she gave us false documents. And one of my coworkers who got it, you know, didn't catch anything. I think it was just mainly due to inexperience. And then she submitted it to our manager, who reviewed it and didn't catch anything, which is mostly due to ignorance. And shortly after, the documents are given to me because I have to create follow-ups. So I create follow-ups for more documents. So that's all boring, but mostly I do further work on it. And so immediately when I saw it, I knew something was wrong. And so I looked further into it, and I see all these fake documents. Like, everything was fake. Her tax returns were fake. Like, the most minuscule detail, like, everything was just obviously wrong. Obviously wrong. If I handed it to one of you who maybe aren't familiar with this, you know, looking at tax returns all the time, you'd probably be able to see something wrong with this. That's how bad it was, okay? Proof of address were completely wrong. Different font, different sizes, different. It just looked like she copied and pasted stuff. And it was just really obvious. And I had, like, big suspicions about everybody that had looked at this stuff and let it go through, let this deal go through. Because I'm like, this is, like, the kind of stuff, like, oh, my gosh, it was so bad. So anyway, I'm rambling. But she ended up getting $10,000 to buy an RV. I later tried to contact the RV place, and I'm like, do you have any information? Because I can't get up with this lady. Like, I don't know. Like, so whenever you buy a vehicle, it's not like you go to the dealership, buy a vehicle, and that's it. No, there's follow-up paperwork. There's, you got to deal with the paperwork for the title, the DMV, insurance, all this information, okay? So it's on and on, drab and drab. And I was like, you know, did you guys get an ID from her? You know, did you get insurance information? She said, no, you know, she worked all that information out with you guys. And I'm like, what? No, you're the dealership. There's, like, very minimal stuff you have to get. I mean, there's requirements. Anyway, so they got, and so he said, you know, the Child Protective Services also came to the dealership asking about her because we saw her in an RV. And I saw her down the street. She was in a parking lot with the RV and a U-Haul that she had abandoned there. And I asked her, you know, did she need help? And she said, no, they were turning the U-Haul to the U-Haul place. And anyway, the cops came looking for the U-Haul, and I was like, okay, like, this didn't, why didn't you tell us any of this stuff, you know? Why are you waiting all this time now? And so this has been, oh my goodness, I guess this was November of, I guess it's been a full year now. And so after she got called out on Facebook for these live shows, she quit and started doing a travel vlog on YouTube. And I found that, and I was, I'd watched a couple little, I guess, like 3 to 5 minute episodes of that is what she would do. Basically, she was doing the RV and doing a cross country vlog in the, living in the RV. And, it was really bad. Like, it was just her ranting, and then the camera wouldn't even be on her half the time. Like, it would be pointing at the ceiling, and she would be ranting. Like, it was kind of like overheard conversations, and there's an audience for that, okay? But this was really bad. One of them was her at some beach, and you could hear the ocean, you could hear birds, but you couldn't see anything in the video. It was, again, her ranting. So the reason she's ranting is because it had to do with people on Facebook that were commenting about how she wasn't fulfilling their orders or refunding them their money. Okay. That was what it was. So I have more involvement in this than I initially said in my initial podcast about her. And I'll get to that in just a second. So I have not been able to ever contact her to get her the title to the RV was never put in her name because I could never get up with her. And then a couple months ago, a tow company in Washington State, which she lived in Florida. So she made it all the way to Washington State. This tow company sent a letter to the dealership that she bought the RV from, asking for the title to the RV because they were going to be auctioning it. And so the dealership in Florida calls me and says, hey, you know, whatever happened to this title? Because, you know, I was like, well, we never got it perfected because we could never get up with the lady. And they're like, oh, my goodness, you know, all this stuff. Anyway, so This past week had looked more into it to see if there's been any update, because there are Facebook awareness pages for her and her business as a result of all these lies, of all this money that she stole. There are people out here that are created a Facebook page to spread awareness about her. So to keep up with her, they just keep up with the latest carry tool nonsense. And so I went on there this last week because I haven't seen it in a while to get an update. And what has happened is she is now in jail. So Child Protective Services had gotten involved, but they're not why she's in jail. She's in jail because of the U-Haul. What happened was she rented a U-Haul, as one does, and she kept it way too long. She kept it beyond the agreement that it turned into a stolen vehicle, and then it was abandoned. So the U-Haul company found all this, gave it to the cops, and along with videos of her with the U-Haul, driving the U-Haul around, you know, and pressed charges against her, and then reported it as stolen. So they finally caught her, and I don't know how they caught her. I don't know how it went down, but she is in jail, and the woman, she makes no money at all. Okay, she doesn't even have a Social Security disability or anything like that. She has no money. Okay, so she's still in jail as we speak, and that's the latest update with her. What I had been involved with that I didn't previously mention was that I had, in an effort outside of my company, tried to get in contact with her, and which essentially can sound deceptive, okay? And it was deceptive. However, I wasn't trying to get in contact with her for the purposes of getting my company's money back, okay? The intention was to try to get her to talk, to see if she understood. So what I did was I created this fake persona that and I'm not going to give you the name just in case I have to use it in the future. But I created this fake persona and created a fake email account, which anybody can do. And then I had reached to her with the numerous channels that I had. Okay. I had two different email addresses. I had the Facebook page, and that was it. I had her phone number, but I had never used that because when I'd call her from my office, it never went through anyway. It was like one of those screening messages you would get. It would be where you called somebody and it would say, state your name and we'll give that to the recipient of the call and they'll call you or call you back, something like that. And it never worked. So anyway, I just gave up on that. So then in an effort to try to, you know, because this is like juicy stuff, right? All this stuff going on with her life is so, there's so much entertainment. There's so much value there that I've felt like, let me just at least talk to this person. Let me see if I can get her to talk. Let me see if I could do a video for her. Let me see if I could get her on a, I didn't have a podcast at that time, but I said, let me see if I can get her on, you know, because even a podcast would be great to interview this person to figure out, one, does she know the damage she's causing? Two, is there any end in sight? And three, is there any remorse? And if I could get that out of her, you know, which somebody who's a criminal is not, they're going to be reluctant to give if they even give you a time of day. So I sent her an email and I said, you know, I'm this journalist. My name is blah, blah, blah. And the way it was is, oh, you know what? I have the email. I'm going to read it to you right now. And instead of editing this out, I'm going to be including this. Let's see. Okay, let's see. Sent. Okay. All right, this is verbatim, the email, and I'm going to leave out the name I used. Okay. Hi, Gandies. Okay, Gandy's is the name of the company that she had started. Okay, it was called Gandy's Treasure Island. And Gandy was the name of her parrot. Okay. I talked about that in the last podcast I did about it, but okay. I said, "Hi, Gandy's. My name is blank, and I'm currently doing a story on Gandy's Treasure Island, Gandy's Great Adventure, Carrie, and I'd like to get a comment from you regarding allegations made about you and your company. You have several options. They are, one, provide a comment on the record, submit an audio comment, written comment, or video comment. Or two, provide no comment, and a lack of a reply to this email will indicate a no comment." And I go on to say, "The allegations stem from non-refund of money, non-fulfillment of orders, theft, and misrepresentation of facts. You will have 24 hours to reply. Respectfully, the name I used." Okay. So that is... that is the only email I ever sent to her.
Okay.
Then I did get a email back. I think it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning from her. This is from Carrie. I knew her as Carrie Tool, but she also, her maiden name was Satterfield, and she replied as Carrie Satterfield. And her reply verbatim is, "I charge $1,000 an hour for interviews with a 1 hour minimum. The interview must take place on stage and in quote unquote old timey theater. I'll need exactly 22,222 M&Ms, but no blue ones. Diet Coke from McDonald's with light ice. Gandy's presence," Gandy is the parrot, "Gandy's presence is an additional $5,000 an hour. He wants 22,222 blue-only M&Ms. Signed, Carrie." Okay. So when I woke up that morning and actually saw that she had replied, I was surprised. And then I thought, you know, okay, obviously she has no interest in doing it, which is fine. But she did reply to the email, you know, and that was pretty unique. And so immediately when she replied, I went to Facebook to her page that she had at that time to see if she had done a live video or had any comments or said anything about this, because she ranted all the time about everything. And sure enough, she did talk about it in one of her videos. And the comments had included the comments from other people had included things like, because she had said that she had got this email from a quote unquote journalist and they want to do her story about, what did she say? She didn't say any of what I had mentioned about theft or, you know, misrepresentation or stealing or anything. It was a story about drama, I think she said, about her business, and they were trying to get dirt on her. And so because she said it that way, of course, all the people that supported her anyways were going to completely comply, you know, with her. And because anybody that did not say anything that she liked, she blocked them from her page. So, you know, so then she says all this, and the comments included things like these outlandish things that she ended up replying with, like, "You should require all these M&Ms, or you should, you know, totally act like a prima donna, or you can say that you will do it only if they give you $5,000 up front, and, you know, only licorice." It was weird stuff like that, you know, like, yeah, I get it, you know, just like totally off the wall kind of stuff. And then that was the only response I had ever gotten, and I had never tried to reach out to her again. Just because I felt like, you know, she had no, well, I felt like she liked drama and she liked the attention because she ranted about this all the time. I didn't think anything positive was going to come out of it, even if I did call her out, you know. And so I saw her mugshot, though, recently from her arrest back in August. And yeah, she looks pretty sad. You know, people say, you know, there's such a thing as karma and stuff. And deception, lying, stealing, all this stuff takes tolls on people. And whether it's karma or it's just a result of the kind of person that you are or you become, you know, that's just, it's just no mugshot looks good, though, in her defense. No mugshot looks good. It's just sad. So anyway, I wanted to give you guys an update on those two cases that I was personally involved with. But it's pretty interesting. The tales we weave when we practice to deceive. And with that, thanks for listening to Keeping It Raw. I'm Raw. Subscribe to the podcast. Have a great day. Bye.